The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا, O you who believe, استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Assalamu Alaikum. Now it's time to listen to a short speech by Sayyid Muhammad Rizvi.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Tonight's majlis is to commemorate the shahadat of our fourth Imam, Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi salatu wasalam, the Imam whose imamat started in a very tragic manner, unlike the imamat of any other imams. And that is to do with the tragedy of Karbala. Therefore, I wanted to actually talk about the contribution of the Imam from a very different angle, because when we hear about the events of Karbala, especially in the language of the poets and poetry, Marsiya, it's not wrong to say that Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi salam was bimar, was not feeling well on the day of Ashura, because that was the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to protect his life. Otherwise, the plan had been to kill all the children of Hussein. This was the instructions of Mal'un ibn Ziyad. But by looking at the situation of the Imam, you know, this is where Bibi Zainab, of course, was the protector of the Imam at that time. And this became in a way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to guarantee that the progeny of imamat will continue from the line of Hussein ibn Ali alayhi salatu wa salam. And so the terms like Abidi Bimar is factual statement, but in the context of the events of Karbala, especially on those few days around Karbala and the day of Ashura. But because we talk about it that way, sometimes on a subconscious level, and I don't think any Shia thinks about it that way, but on a subconscious level, sometimes we end up thinking about the Imam that, na'uzubillah, he was always sick or suffering from an illness all the time. No. Reciting that in Marsiya is fine. As I said, there is a context to it, and that is very relevant when we talk about the suffering of the days of Ashura before and after it. But we have to remember that, you know, Imam, and because of that subconscious image that we have because of the events of Karbala, sometimes, you know, people think, without saying much about it, that Imam was not that much in the field of jihad. You know, Hussein ibn Ali was a mujahid, Amir al-Mu'mineen was a mujahid, Abbas bin Ali was a mujahid, but when it comes to Imam Zain al-Abidin, the subconscious, you know, image sometimes is that he was a very polite and kind person. Of course he was. But we have to realize that when we talk about jihad, jihad can be of three types. One is jihad, be safe. Where you do jihad by the sword. But there are two other ways of also jihad also, equally important. One is known as jihad bil lisan. You know, jihad by your words. If you just look at the conversation of Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi salam in Kufa, in the darbar of Ibn Ziyad, with Ibn Ziyad, the way he responds to his questions and puts Ibn Ziyad down to the extent that Ibn Ziyad turns back and he says, you have the courage to respond back to me? And this is where Imam turns back and says, you know, do not you know that for us to be killed or to have shahadat is a karama and a grace and honor for us? You are trying to, you know, threaten me by killing me? And this is actually the symbol of what we call jihad bil lisan. But a very important dimension of the life of the Imam is also that he was very much into what is known as jihad bil qalam, where you actually, you know, protect Islam and defend Islam by the power of your pen and your eye. When we talk about jihad bil qalam, you know, immediately in the context of the fourth Imam, you know, the book Sahifa Sajjadiyya comes to our mind, the book of du'as. But I would like to actually talk about this from a different, broader aspect. And this is where we have to realize that when we study the life of the Imams, we have to know the context historically. Only then we'll be able to realize the impact that they had in the survival and growth of the Shia faith and the community. If you look at the lives of our Imams, you can actually divide them into different eras. From the first Imam to the third Imam, this is the era of survival, where the minority Shia community is still, you know, fighting for the survival against that majority at that time. And we saw that this fight, you know, ended up with the events of Karbala. And in Karbala, the enemies realized that we cannot eliminate them by killing them. You know, they did whatever was within their power on that day, as if, and they thought this is the end of tashayyu. But they didn't realize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the protector of His own nur. And, you know, this is where the events of Karbala actually guaranteed the survival of the Shia faith and the Shia community. They realized they cannot eliminate them by sword and by killing them. And once that was established, then we come to the second era in the history of the Imams, from the fourth Imam to the sixth Imam. This is the era of education. This is the time when the Imams, fourth Imam, fifth Imam, and sixth Imam, are now educating the community. Basically putting the systems in place so that the Shia community would know their thoughts and theology, they would know their practice and Sharia. And this process, many times, because we, you know, we call ourselves Ja'fari, based on Fiqh Ja'fari, you know, sometimes we think that Fiqh and Islamic, the Shi'i thoughts, was all generated during this time of the sixth Imam, or maybe a little bit earlier with the fifth Imam. What we do not realize. That the foundation of that process of education for the community started with Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salatu wasalam. He's the one who, you know, basically established the foundation of what we call the University of Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq. It was that system which was then further expanded by the fifth Imam, and it's peak at the end of the sixth Imam. So we have to realize that even when we talk about Fiqh Ja'fari, that Fiqh Ja'fari actually is the conclusion and the end result of the process started by none other than Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salatu wasalam. Just one example I'll give you, that for example during the after, you know, his stay in Medina, Imam actually used to train his companions to write down whatever they hear from him. And this is actually in a context where the Khulafa from day one all the way to the days of Umar ibn Abdul Aziz during the Umayyad time later, writing of hadith had been prohibited. In that context, you see, it's very important to realize that, you know, Imam Zainul Abidin is now emphasizing to his companions that whatever you hear from me, put it down in writing. On a weekly basis, every Friday evening, he would give a khutbah and a sermon in the masjid. There's nothing to do with Namaz Jummah. No, that was under the hand of the government. But he, every Friday in Medina, he used to give the khutbah. And this would be written down by his companions. For example, we had one of them, Sa'id bin al-Musayyib. Sa'id bin al-Musayyib, basically he says that every evening the imam would give a khutbah, which was written and memorized by his companions. So the issue of kitabat was there, the issue of hifdh was there, that they should remember. A more interesting, you know, example would be of Abu Hamza al-Thumali, you know, the famous dua that you have in Mafatih. He was a very trusted companion of the fourth imam. And he says that one day I was not, you know, present in one of those weekly khutbas, but I was able to get a notebook from a companion, a friend. So I got that and I copied the entire thing. And not only that, he copied, he says, I went to the imam with my copy that I had made from this other companion, and I showed to the imam, and he recognized it, and he corrected here and there. And so this was a very active, so it's not just a, you know, general statement that I'm making when I'm saying that imam is the one who establish what we call the proper and formal process of education in the Shi'i community at that time. And this is what continued all the way to the days of the fifth imam and reaching to the peak during the days of the sixth imam.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
Rahi Karimun Adi Alimun Hali Hakimun Mati. محمد يا مؤمنين صلوا عليه.